Greatest audience in the nation. I am not Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. I'm Doug McBurney, sitting in because Bob has a sore throat, and so he wanted to inflict upon you something like what would have happened had he been able to make it into the studios. And so here I am. I may have to resort to a lozenge at some point, and if I do, I apologize. I know that is not proper radio etiquette, but I may have to do that. I'm Doug McBurney. As I said, I'm the host of the Weekly Worldview. You can check it out. We just got a brand new show that went up last night, The Big Bamboozle. Check it out. It's happening right now. All right? I want to enlighten you about that. So I won't cover any of that on this show, since I covered that on last night's show. Today, of course, we're going to talk about the Grammys, probably wall to wall, maybe the whole show. I'm sorry, did I say the Grammys? I meant the Oscars. I apologize, but actually, I didn't watch. I did not watch the Oscars last night. I know you're probably shocked by that. I didn't watch, but I did listen to coverage of the Oscars on my way into the studio. Because apparently that's a big deal to a lot of other hosts. So people with no creative thought and no real opinions that mean anything talk about the Oscars. Because, I mean, somebody basically writes the material for you. And you just get to report on who was there and what dress did they wear and who won the prize. And anyway, I do want to say, based on the reportage that I've heard, the big winner at the Oscars last night was Satan. He was the big winner because he was able to advance his evil agenda of greed and lust without having to endure either Jimmy Kimmel or Ellen DeGeneres. And so he was obviously the big winner. And now before we get to the news, I would like to offend any Trump supporters who are left in the audience. If you're a Trump supporter, just turn the radio down for the next 15 seconds because I don't want to hurt your feelings. The report is, later today, Donald Trump will be on his way to Vietnam, a country that he had the opportunity to visit after he graduated in 1968, but he chose not to do so. Okay, we'll wait for the Trump supporters to come back. Now, okay, they're all back now. And see there, that didn't hurt so bad, did it? Okay, I know. I know you're not supposed to bring that up, that people ducked the draft back during the Vietnam War, especially when they're heroic super presidents, the greatest president since George Washington. We can't question the fact that he chose to go into the family business instead of going off to Vietnam and risking his life for his loved ones and his country. And he's just so great. He's too great. We can't bring that up. Let's go to, we can talk about DNA. We're going to talk about DNA. We're not going to talk about the Oscars. We'll talk about drug dealers. We're going to talk about some drug dealers. And then we have some heartwarming stories of abortion from CNN that I read this morning. If you are interested in a story that will warm the cockles of your heart, we have three heartwarming stories of child killing from CNN. We'll talk about Harvey Milk, Matthew Shepard, and Jussie Smollett. And then the search for extraterrestrial life, just can't get enough of that. And then an AI Buddha coming at you. Yeah, all right. So let's start with DNA. Now, if you've listened to Bob Enyart Live over the past, 30 years, 28 years? For at least 20 years that I can recall. Well, let's see. When was OJ? That would have been 94, right? 95? Wow, I'm getting old. So for over 20 years, Bob Enyart Live has advocated a national DNA database. And, I don't know that there are any other advocates now that I'm trying to think advocates. I think we're the only advocates that I can think of off the top of my head. Although there's probably a few, there's probably more than a few police who at least privately have called. No one else on the air, unless Bob had a cop on the air. And then there would have been one other advocate. But it turns out it probably doesn't matter. It probably doesn't matter because the DNA database is coming together. And here in Colorado last week, James Allen Neal, a 72-year-old murderer, was arrested. He murdered a girl in Newport Beach, California, in 1973. And detectives caught him through genealogical DNA. That's right. So there's this fella, C.C. Moore. This guy, we should get this guy on the air. We should get this guy on the air. Or a girl. It's C.C. It could be a guy. It could be a girl, right? C-E-C-E. It could be Chi-Chi. Anyway, C.C. Moore is an investigator who specializes in cranking through all these databases out there, 23andMe and Ancestry.com and the FBI database. And basically, I'm not an expert, but somehow this investigator puts the pieces of the puzzle together to isolate families from which murderers likely came. And then the police can target, you know, investigate members of that family who fit the, you know, he was there, he was the right age, and they can put it together. And what they did with this evil, wicked murderer, James Allen Neal, who molested and murdered an 11-year-old Linda O'Keefe in Newport in 1973, what they did was C.C. Moore put them on the trail, and then they followed him around and got some of his DNA, and then they caught him. And well, he's sitting in jail in Colorado right now, and hopefully they're going to be able to send him out there to Southern California, where he will be prosecuted. And prosecutors in Southern California, according to NBC News, are considering seeking the death penalty, which means, well, they're not going to seek the death penalty, but James, if you're listening, since you're still here in Colorado, it's possible that he's listening to KLTT, the 50,000-watt blowtorch for the gospel, makes it all the way out to all the jails. They can all pick up AM 670. So, James Allen Neal, you're going to get the death penalty, my friend. You're going to get it. You know, whether it's inflicted judicially by the state of California or extrajudiciously. Yeah. Either way, you're going to get it. Well, it wouldn't be extrajudicially if God gives it to him, because God is the judge. He's ultimately the judge of all the earth. And for James Allen Neal, God will be his judge and executioner, as a matter of fact. And so there we go. Very encouraging that despite the fact that libertarians and other liberals are against the DNA database, They can't do anything about it because people are voluntarily giving their DNA. And so there you go. And we need to look up C.C. Moore. Let me make a note here to send off to the producer. We're going to find out. I'm going to do a little bit of research on C.C. We're going to find out where C.C. is. And we're going to try to get C.C. on the air, because if there's any audience who would want to hear from the fella who is helping catch all these cold cases, it would be the Bob Inyart Live audience, I do believe, because you all are the brightest audience in the nation, from what I understand. That's what I've been told. I mean, I haven't run an IQ test on everybody, but I would assume that that's true since you're listening right now. Now, let's go to the Associated Press, where I have a report from Connecticut, where lawmakers are considering legislation, which I generally don't like that. I generally don't like lawmakers considering legislation at all. I'm just against the whole concept. I believe in the axiom that was pointed out to me by Bob years ago, who said, and he might have got this from someone else. We'll have to do some research and find out. He said that laws should not be created. Laws should only be discovered. And I think that's very true. And I don't like legislators ginning up legislation and making up laws. But this one is interesting to talk about for other reasons. And so we'll talk about it. They're talking about, should drug dealers be charged with murder? That's the question. And there's a bill in Connecticut that is working its way through the legislature that would impose a charge of murder or possibly manslaughter to drug charges against drug dealers who are dealing drugs that cause fatal overdoses, like fentanyl or OxyContin or, well, there's a whole host of them. And this is all an effort to curb the opioid crisis, right? It's a crisis that we're always hearing about. It's a crisis. So should drug dealers be charged with murder? Yes, of course they should. In fact, I advocated that if you're caught with drugs, you have to consume all the drugs you have. And then if it kills you, you get the death penalty. So I think that's a pretty fair, you know, I think that's a good way to go. But the Drug Policy Alliance, they disagree. Now, they're a bunch of drug addicts, and they want to legalize drugs, the Drug Policy Alliance. And they say that, they say we really should focus on demand for drugs. That's what, of course, they've been saying that for like 40 years, that what we need to do is reduce the demand for drugs. But then they legalize, they're for legalizing everything that's immoral, and immorality leads to sadness and discomfort and feelings of disquietness that leads people to start taking drugs. And so these people are obviously mentally deranged. They want to focus on the demand side while increasing demand. And they don't want to make any drugs illegal. And so I disagree with them. I guess that's all I have to say about that. I'm on drugs right now, by the way. Again, approximately 400 milligrams of ibuprofen and 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C. Does that count as a drug, vitamin C? I don't think that counts. Anyway, that's what I'm on right now. And I'm not in danger of overdosing or anything. But I read a study that ibuprofen makes it very difficult to pay attention to details. And so if I leave out any words or if I repeat myself, it's just the ibuprofen. I apologize for that. Now, one good thing I got from this article about how we should execute drug dealers. Well, actually, that's not what it's about. That's what I would like it to be about. I think drug dealers should be executed. And the thing is you only have to execute a couple, maybe three tops, and then people stop dealing drugs. Yes, it would work. Anyway, the AP reports that about 48,000 Americans died of opioid overdoses in 2017, and that's up from just 18,000 in 2007. So in a 10-year span, it's over, more than doubled the amount of people dying, accidentally, mostly, I'm sure. And law enforcement officials say that fentanyl is the reason, and that's actually not true. Fentanyl's not the reason. Fentanyl's just the mechanism by which people accidentally kill themselves. The reason is we don't execute drug dealers. That's the reason. Well, that's one of the main reasons. And then the other reason is people are sad and people are uncomfortable and people are scared and they're depressed. And it's because they don't know God. See, that's it. Godlessness is the reason that people are taking drugs and killing themselves. Well, if you started executing drug dealers, that immediately brings up a conversation about God. Because people would say, why are you executing that drug dealer? And we could tell them that, you know, God says that murderers should be put to death. And if you take another innocent person's life, you should be put to death. Well, that guy was dealing fentanyl and people were dying. And so we are killing him. Because God demands it. And then they could say, well, who is this God you're talking about? And then we could get into that whole conversation. And before long, you veer right into the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel. And speaking of that, this is our telethon month, right? The goal is $40,000. I know that. I think we're up around 13 grand, right? We're right around $13,000, and we've only got a few days left, folks. Go to kgov.com and give early and give often. You're allowed to give more than once, by the way, from what I understand. If you wanted to log on, you don't even have to use different email addresses. It's not like one of those things. You can just log on and give once, and then you could subscribe to the Bible studies or the videos or the sermons from Denver Bible Church. And then you could sign up a family member and just have it sent to them if you wanted to. But we do need your help, folks. We're over a quarter of a way toward our goal, but we're running out of time. So get with it. Help us out. Thank you. By the way, if you sign up for the Bible studies, You can get them in a handy electronic download that moves from the Bob Enyart Live studios to your computer or tablet or phone at the speed of light. How cool is that? You can participate in the speed of light. Just order the downloads. All right. Now, stories. We're going to get into some heartwarming stories of abortion because CNN wants to help us understand why women kill their children. And so they've put together heartwarming stories of the 1%. And I don't mean the 1% as the leftists would have you believe. I'm not talking about rich people. I'm talking about the 1% of parents who murder their child after 20 weeks. So did you get that? So you've heard a lot of hullabaloo over the past few years about the banning abortion after 20 weeks. So 99% of all abortions take place before 20 weeks. And so if you advocate for a 20-week abortion ban, you're basically endorsing 99% of all abortions. You no longer qualify as pro-life. Take off the T-shirt, hang up your hat, and just go away. You're not pro-life, okay? But let's talk about some heartwarming stories of women who killed their children after 20 weeks because, well, we just want to understand. And maybe this will help us to understand. I'll put a link on the website because I can't get into all the heartwarming details here, but I'll try to hit the highlights. I won't name the women, but CNN actually names the women because apparently they're proud of their heartwarming story of abortion. Doctors told one mom that her baby would most likely, they said, suffer from uncontrollable seizures upon birth, and the baby might actually have to be resuscitated on the birthing table. And doctors predicted that for as long as the child lived, their baby would require medical intervention. So basically, mom found out that your baby is sick and your baby is going to have a difficult time. And mom then goes on to describe the agony and the pain and just how awful it was until, together with her husband, they decided to kill the child that they loved. Doesn't that just warm your heart? You know, I was feeling the pain and the suffering and the agony. But then when I saw that they decided to kill the baby that they loved, then I just felt all that go away. It made me feel so good. Oh, by the way, the CNN article says that together with her husband, they decided to get an abortion. But get an abortion is a euphemism for kill the sick child. Kill the sick child. Now, it was very inconvenient, so now I'm feeling the stress of this poor couple again. They had to fly all the way to Colorado to get the procedure, but fortunately, the baby's loving grandparents paid the $17,500 to kill her. So everybody loves grandma, right? It's just a heartwarming tale. Well, let's move on now. If you're not quite all warmed up and feeling warm and fuzzy about child killing, let's let CNN take us on another journey into a heartwarming story of killing your baby. Another 24-week-old mom, she was experiencing severe preeclampsia, and doctors told her she was on the verge of having a stroke. So she was scared, and she describes preeclampsia this way. She says, it's like you're being poisoned by your pregnancy, and the only way to cure it is to not be pregnant. Do you feel it? Are you feeling the emotional? Yeah. The last 2 weeks, I'm sorry, doctors told her that the baby needed 2 more weeks to achieve viability so that the baby could be delivered. And they told her, you just don't have 2 weeks. You don't even have 2 days. And so this brave mother decided that she would kill the child because she was brave and she was willing to risk her life for the life of another. No, actually, she wasn't willing. She wasn't even willing to wait the 2 days.
And the doctors weren't willing to try to take the baby out and see if they might could save it somehow. Instead, they injected the child with digoxin to stop the child's heart. That's a chemical they used to poison the baby to death. Now, they did promise mom that the fetus would feel no pain. And so that makes me feel really good about that. And then they performed the obligatory dilation and evacuation procedure. That's where they dilate the cervix, and then CNN says the contents of the uterus are extracted. But what they do is they chop the baby into pieces and pull it out. They chopped the baby she loved into pieces and then scraped it out and counted all the pieces in a bucket. But before they presumably put price tags on some of them and put them in the refrigerator. And so those are the first two stories. And if that doesn't warm your heart, let's go to the young college student. So at this point, CNN has warmed up the average liberal, I think, to the idea of these just terrible circumstances in which killing the child was really the best way to express the love that these parents had for their child. But if you're not quite there yet, we'll go to the college student. It was final exams and she couldn't concentrate at all. She was having a difficult time. She'd had to transfer to a new school and there was a lot of stress. In fact, she says it was the worst trimester of my life. She says she felt alone because she was at a new school and there was stress and there was final exams. And then finally, she says, I had clarity. I could not have this baby. She decided in the middle of finals that she just finally realized she could not have this baby. So she decided she needed to kill the baby, but she knew that killing a baby this late in her pregnancy would be expensive. And she was worried that she couldn't afford it. And so she started calling around and inadvertently called a crisis pregnancy center and they invited her down. Well, they made her watch a video that talked about God and adoption and women sharing testimonies about the abortions they regretted. Well, she sat through it. She didn't understand these women, their sadness. And she realized that she had unknowingly walked into a faith-based clinic that didn't even offer abortions. And she says she didn't buy into all the information in the video because she said, look, I just wanted help. And at that point, of course, she had decided that help was to kill her child who was approximately 30 weeks old. That's 30 weeks. What is that? 7 months, 7.5 months pregnant. She decided that the people at the crisis pregnancy center offered to pay for her college and let her stay there and have the baby. Well, but she wasn't having any of that. What she wanted was help killing the baby, who, by the way, she never claimed to love. So I guess CNN abandoned that tactic by the time they got to this third story. So they offered to pay for her college, stay here, have the baby, we'll help you out. But that's not what she wanted. And, you know, when you can't get what you want, you know what that's like. Do you feel it in your heart? You felt it, right? You can't get what you want. And sometimes if just killing someone will help you get what you want, don't we all understand that feeling? I hope CNN has brought you down the path to where you understand that now. So she decided, look. She decided, I'm not ready to raise this child. And I refuse, she said, to be like my biological mother who abandoned me in the hospital after I was born. So this young college student was adopted. Her mother chose to not murder her, but she didn't want to be like her mom. She wanted help, and she wanted to murder her baby. So she called an abortion clinic in New Mexico. They told her they would murder her baby, but it would cost her $12,000. Do you feel the stress? Can you imagine? Can you imagine when you just want to kill someone and then you find out it's going to cost more money than you have? Are you feeling the emotion of that? That really strikes close to home. Well, What she did was she got on the phone there, and she made sure she didn't call another crisis pregnancy center. Instead, she got connected to a network of abortion-funding leftists who helped her raise $9,000, at which point she negotiated with the abortion clinic over the price of killing the baby, and she found out that they could probably scrape by with the $9,000. And so, by the way, she connected with the same type of abortion-funding network that will, in short order, be covering the $60 million that the Trump administration just pretended to take away from Planned Parenthood. This the same network scraped together $9,000 to murder this girl's baby. 2 days after the $9,000 negotiated hit, I mean, not to put too fine a point on it, but she said at first she felt like she wanted to die, but then when she gave birth to a dead fetus, she said she was overcome with tears of relief. Just let that sink in. Can you imagine how that felt? She says she thinks about all the children in the United States and elsewhere who don't have loving homes and aren't given a fair chance. She says, do you want more orphanages? Do you want more orphanages to have more kids? Do you want more kids on the streets? So she saved us all from suffering through something as horrible as orphanages. By murdering her child. And she says that when she's older and becomes the woman she plans to be, maybe when she's 30, she plans to become a mother. And then so we end with a very heartwarming, uplifting, forward-looking, wonderful, lovely, warm statement about. So... So this is what we're up against, is people who want to craft a narrative to tug at our heartstrings over murder. I mean, it's pretty sick, right? That's pretty sick and disgusting and distorted and distasteful. And I know we're not surprised to see something like that from CNN. But the bottom line is, what about the 99%? What about the other million or so kids that are murdered before 20 weeks? Is it any less horrible in the mind of God? It's not. And it's not any more horrible than in my mind. It's not any more horrible in my mind. It shouldn't be any more or less horrible in your mind. The murder of an innocent child is one of the most wicked crimes that anyone can perpetrate. Just because you're bigger and stronger and meaner than someone and you don't want them around and then you kill them, you know, that just makes you one of the most evil people in the pantheon of world history. You're right up there with Hitler and Stalin and Mao. If you would murder one innocent child, no matter how young that child is and how defenseless that child is, and no matter how much that child needs you, and the day that we decided that we would tolerate the murder of even one innocent child was the day that we handed our civilization off to these maniacal killers who would actually write a love story about killing innocent children. And that's why we need Bob Enyart Live on the air, so that we can remind you of this and help you find, help us all find our way out. And back. If Bob doesn't get better, I might be back. Otherwise, just do right and risk the consequences.